And we're holding by the Mishnah on Samach Gimel on the Beis, so second line from the bottom. Mishnah says, continuing on the dinim of Shlichus, a woman says to her Shliach, receive my get from me, which means she made him a Shliach Kabbalah. So now when he says he received the get, she needs two groups of Edim in order to be able to show that she was divorced and that now she can remarry. Two of them to testify that she made the Shliach in their presence. And then there need to be two Edim who say that he received the get in their presence and that he ripped up the get. Why ripped it up? We'll see in the Gemara. But you need Edim for that. This that we're saying, by the way, that she needs Edim for the Shliach Kabbalah, there is Machlokas Rishonim. Would the same thing apply? Does the husband need Edim when he makes the Shliach Halacha? The Rambam says no, and he gives a reason for it, because the Shliach Halacha is not completing the job. He's just bringing it from point A to point B. It becomes effective only when it's given to the woman herself. And the Ravid gives a different reason, which is that the Ravid agrees with the concept, but he gives a different reason and says because it depends whether he's holding on to the get or not. Therefore you shouldn't need Edim when it was given to him by the husband, but here, as opposed to the wife's, where he's holding on to it, but as we're going to see in the Gemara, he could be holding on to it only as a pikadin or something. And then you have different other Rishonim who say that in fact the husband, when he appoints a shliach, would in fact need to have Edim as well. Which in that case they discuss how that would fit with at the beginning of the Masechta. We learned that Hamevi get in Medina Siyam, a Shliach brings a get from overseas. He says, Bufanenechtem, what about Edim that he was appointed? So the Rosh actually says that would be included in the Takana as well, that we believe him when he's bringing from Medina Siyam without needing any further Edim, just by saying Bufanenechtem, but otherwise we would need Edim that he was appointed. In this case, though, we're talking about the Shliach Kabbalah, so you were saying the Mishnah is saying that we do need Edim that he was appointed, and then we also need Edim that he actually received the get. Given that he ripped it, and as we're going to see in the Gemara, that means, in other words, he doesn't have the get in his hands right now. If he had it, then maybe we wouldn't need Edim that he received it, because obviously he has it. And the Mishnah continues, Afilu hein harishonim v'hein ha'achronim. Now, it doesn't have to be two separate sets of Edim for each of those things, even if the same two Edim are saying that he was appointed, and they're also saying that he received the get, that would be good enough. Tosfos discusses why Afilu, wouldn't it be better if they're the same thing, because then they're testifying on the complete thing. Tosfos says, yeah, but on the other hand, you could argue if it was the same Edim, maybe they're lying, and actually the woman herself hired them, to say that the get was received because she wants to remarry. We're going to have such a concept at the end of the parak. So if they're saying that, it's not very usual, after all, that the same Edim should be there when he's appointed and also when he receives the get. So therefore, we might think that maybe they're false Edim that she hired, and therefore we're saying Afilu, even in that case, then it is valid, and how much more so if two separate sets of Edim, because it's not very likely that she bribed two separate sets of Edim to say Edus on her behalf. That's how Tosfos explains. Or the Mishnah continues, Echem min Rishonim ve'echem min Achronim ve'echem mitzta'arif imahem. Another possibility you could have is that one aid from the first part, one aid from the second part, and then you have one who joins together with them. In other words, so you'll have when the Shliach Kabbalah is appointed, you have Reuven and Shimon observing that, and they're aiders for that. Then later on, when the get is actually given to the Shliach Kabbalah by the husband, you're going to have Shimon and Levi see that. So even though Shimon is in common between both sets, and then you have in one, you have he's together with Reuben, and the other one together with Levi, then that also works, and that's also valid Eidos, and now then, and now good, she'll be able to remarry. The Tosfos says, and that's in the continuation of that Tosfos, the Chiddush is that even though you have this one person in common with two sets, we're not concerned that maybe, again, that maybe he's a false aide that she hired for this purpose. Okay, so the bottom line is you need two aidim. So now the Gemara is going to bring a machloikus in this connection, which is going to relate back and clarify our Mishnah. So Itmar, the Gemara says, we have a discussion of Amiroim. What happens once the shliach, once the shliach has received the get? So we're talking over here that the Gemara is going to call him over here a sholish, which means a third party, because we're not sure what is he. Is he a shliach, or was he just giving it for safekeeping in the, or was just giving it for safekeeping for now? So bal omer l'pikadin, or shlish omer l'shlish, or sholish omer l'gerushin. Suppose the husband says, I gave it to him only as a pikadin. I wanted him to hold on to it for a while, and eventually I'll take it back, and I'll decide when I want to give this get. And the sholish, this third party, says it was actually given to me for Gerushin, because I was a Shliach Kabbal. And Rashi also adds, the scenario is that all of them, the husband and wife, are both in the same city. If they're not in the same city, then you have the consideration that the Gemara is going to go on to say the Gemara is going to go on to say whether there's a machlokas, whether we believe the husband or the sholish, if they're in different towns, then there might be different din. So the question is, who do we believe? Do we believe the husband that it wasn't given l'shem gerushin, and therefore that the wife is still married? Or do we believe the shalish that it was already given l'shem gerushin, that it was given him as a shliach kabbalah, and as soon as he received it, it took effect, and then she's already divorced? So Rav Huna Amar Baal Neman, Rav Chista Amar Shalish Neman. Rav Huna says we believe the husband, and therefore, so the divorce hasn't taken effect yet, and Rav Chista says we believe the shalish, and therefore it has. So what's the underlying reasons for both of them? Rav Huna Amar Baal Neman. Rav Huna says that we believe the husband because the Isa Gerushin Yahweh, because if in fact he had given it to the shliach as for Gerushin, he would have already just given it to the wife directly. After all, yes, the wife appointed a shliach kabbalah, but that doesn't mean the husband has to give it to the shliach kabbalah. He could certainly give it to the wife herself. And they're all together in the one. They're all together in the one town. So Rashi and Tosfos both are saying that only when the husband and the wife are in different towns, then we would say that's different. So Tosfos points out, you know, we have at the beginning of the Masechta the whole business of b'fanin nechta, where now if the husband comes and says this was not a valid get, we don't pay attention to him. But based on what we're saying over here, couldn't he argue and say that the kodin nasati? And Tosfos says that that's just it. When they're all together in town, then you can say, like the Gemara is saying over here, Rav Huna can say that, look, you know, in that case, why did he bother with a shliach at all? He could have just given it to her directly. But if they're in different towns, even Rav Huna is not going to say that we believe the husband, because otherwise that would defeat the whole purpose of the takana b'fanin nechta. And then there's another point as well. The Ran makes a couple of points on this. He says, first of all, when here we're talking about specifically with a shliach kabbalah, at the beginning of the Masechta, we're talking about a shliach halacha, because a shliach kabbalah, after all, the get takes effect right away. If he wanted it to take effect right away, he might as well give it directly to her, as opposed to a shliach halacha. By definition, that means that he doesn't want the get to take effect immediately. So therefore, we have less reason to believe the husband. And then also the Ran says you could also talk about whether the get is still in the hands of the shalish, because after all, then there is reason to argue it's for Pekodin, because otherwise, why didn't he give it to her already? Granted, it takes effect when he gets it, but eventually, why shouldn't he give it to her? As opposed to, at the beginning of the Masechta, we're talking about that she receives it from the shliach, and then after that already, once she received it, and the shliach said, b'fana nechta, later on now, the husband comes and says, I gave it only as a pekudin, we wouldn't believe him. But here, in our case, we're talking about over here where the shliach is still holding on to it. Anyway, so Rav Huna says that given again they're all in town and all these various other considerations, if in fact he gave it to him for Gevushin, then he could have given it directly to her. There was no reason to go through a shliach. Therefore, we have a good strong reason to believe that in fact the husband is right and he gave it to him only as a pekudin and it hasn't taken effect yet. Rav Chista Omer Sholish Neman, as opposed to according to Rav Chista, the Sholosh is believed, and therefore we, and we're talking about, by the way, Tosfos points out over here, we are talking about there are Edim, as we said in the Mishnah, that he was appointed as a Shliach Kabbalah. So we've taken care of that part, we've taken care of that part of it, that he is, there's no question he is a Shliach Kabbalah. And therefore, Rav Chista says, we do believe him, because after all, we see that the husband trusted him to give him the get. So therefore, that means that we believe what the shliach is saying. Rashi said the reason further along that the reason is he has a migri. He could have further on. We're going to talk about the case where, as we said in the mission, the get is ripped up. But there, Rashi points out he has a migri that he could have done not the typical migri that we mean in Shas, that he says one thing and he could have said something else, but rather he could have actually given it to her, and instead he didn't. Therefore, we have reason to believe that what he's saying, because instead he could have just given it to her and it would have taken effect that way. Tosfos says it's not really a matter of that; it's more a matter of that since the husband gave it to him, Tosfos argues and says that there's not really a migri over here. And they're saying, because that's the point, the reason the husband gave it to him is that he intends that he should be believed no matter what he says. Even Tosfos says further on, even if he's going to lie, nevertheless, the Gemara talks about this in the case of Dinim Ominous, and Tosfos says the expression over there that even if he's going to lie, the husband is willing to be moichel in Dinim Ominous. Now, Gittin, as the Gemara is going to point out, that doesn't apply, but still, the point is that the husband is implicitly believing him with whatever he says, and therefore we can believe what he's saying, says Rav Chista, that he received it for the purpose of Gerushin, and that it already took effect. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Abba. So Rav Abba says, what do you mean, Rav Huna, that we wouldn't believe the Sholish? Here's a case involving Dinim Ominous. At this point, obviously, the Gemara assumes that the same Dinim would apply to Gittin. A Braisa says, Hoidas Bal Din Kamei Edim Dami, that when a Bal Din admits to something, then that's considered like 100 Edim. A typical example would be where somebody is moida that he owes such and such. We don't even need Edim for it because he himself was moida to it. And you have a lot of other cases. Anyway, Sholish Naman Mishnehem, a Sholish, a third party that would be in this connection, is believed even more than the two Baladin. Heitzad, Ze'o Makach, Ze'o Makach, meaning that if you have a Din Torah between two people, and there's money that was deposited in escrow with a third party about it, then Sholish Neman, then we believe the Sholish about what he was given it for. So let's say, for example, so you have Reuven gave money to Shimon, and now, so Levi is arguing and saying, you gave it to Shimon for me to be Zoicheret, and Reuven is saying, no, I gave it to him only as a Pekodin. So whatever the Sholish says is going to be believed more than both of them. So again, here we're talking about the Pashtos, they could be both in the same city, Tosfos points out again, you know, the Braisa is just saying generically that we believe the Sholish, meaning that we're not making a distinction between whether they're in the same city or not. And we see that the Sholish is believed. So what is Rav Huna telling us that in this case of Gittin we don't necessarily believe the Sholish? The answer is Shiny Mummy, the difference is when it comes to money is given to be able to be moichel. In other words, again, we can say that since he gave it to the shalish, then that means he's moichel on any possibilities, even as Tosfos says, even if the shalish lies, nevertheless, the one who gave it to him, Reuven, is thinking to himself, you know what, since I gave it to him, then implicitly I'm trusting whatever he says, even if what he says is in fact a lie, nevertheless, I trusted him, and I'm not going to go back. But by moment you can talk about that. By get you can't do that. Now Tosfos says. So what is Rav Chista going to answer to that? Rav Chista will say, listen, because that's again the point is the reason why he gave it to him is that if he should say I was given for Gerushin, then he should be believed. In other words, the husband to begin with when he gave it to him had that in mind. If it's necessary retroactively to say that I gave it to him for Gerushin, then that'll work. If that becomes necessary because he claims later that it was given l'shem gerushin, but Rav Huna is not going to agree with that point. But again, the point is that braisa doesn't contradict Rav Huna. Okay, the Gemara continues. V'hatanya v'chein legitin. The braisa says the same thing applies as far as gitin. So then that would contradict Rav Huna. The answer is okay. Gitin moment. The answer is the word gitin over here means, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, the word get doesn't always mean a get isha. Sometimes it's just another word for shtar. So it means, and the same thing with other kinds of shtaris, but all talking about money. Not necessarily a get isha. The Gemara says, v'latanya v'chem l'shtaris. We have another braisa, the same, we have a braisa that says the same thing as far as shtaris. So if the braisa, the Gemara is assuming that it's all the same braisa, at least that they were taught by the same base medrash. So therefore, if it says shtaris and then separately it says gittin, then obviously that means that gittin doesn't just mean shtaris in general, it means gitta isha. So then that would contradict Rav Huna. The Gemara says, why? Midi gabe hadadi tanya. Were these braises taught together? These braises may be from different bote medrash. One of them phrased it as b'chein l'gitin. The same one phrased the same din as b'chein l'shtaris. But both of them are referring to shtaris and mammon. Just one's calling them shtaris and the other one is calling them gitin. They're not necessarily all from the same base medrash or from the same braisa that therefore it means shtaris plus gitin. It just means that shtaris and gitin are two synonyms. Okay. So no contradiction against Rav Huna so far. Okay. The Gemara continues, Tnan. Now let's look at our Mishnah and see. We said in the Mishnah, Ha'isha she'omer iskabal ligiti, the wife says to a shliach Kabbalah, receive my get from me. So now if she wants to get married later on, Tzricha shtei kite edim, then we said she needs two pairs of edim, Shnayim she'omer f'neinu omra, two that say that she appointed this guy a shliach Kabbalah in their presence, or Shnayim she'omer f'neinu kibo v'kara, and the other two, I don't know, we said it could be the same two, whatever, but the point is we need separate eders that he actually received the get and that he ripped it up. So now, according to Rav Chista, why should we need the second set of eidim? Lehemne l'sholish. Why shouldn't we believe the sholish? The shliach over here is a sholish. He's saying that he received the get and that it was, he's saying he received the get and it was l'shem gerushin. So why should we need Edim? So Rashi explains the question according to Rav Chista is why should we need Edim for either part? The fact is he's holding on to the get and was saying the husband believed him to the extent of giving the get into his hand. So we shouldn't need Edim that he was appointed a shliach. We shouldn't need Edim that he received the get. We shouldn't need Edim that he received the get either. So actually, Maushra points out that we're talking about over here, where the Mishnah could be talking about, there's no, now in the Gemara, in the Machlokas of Huna and of Chista, we're talking about where there's no argument. The Shliach is saying, here's the gift, I'm holding on to it, and it already took effect. And the husband is agreeing with him, as opposed to the Huna and of his and of Chista's case, where they're arguing. So in fact, Tosfos disagrees, and says that we're talking about, Tosfos in fact explains that the Gemara is asking over here only on Eide Kabbalah. For sure you need Eide Amira, because, uh, Tosfos goes on to explain that the question is specifically on Rav Chiska, as opposed to Marsha says, according to Rashi, the question may be on Rav Huna as well, that the Mishnah is saying that you need Edim regardless, whereas according to Rav Huna, if they're not arguing, there should be no reason for Edim. So it sounds like according to the Mishnah, you need Edim regardless, and we can't just believe the guy even if the husband is agreeing with him. So the answer is mikanafik gita mitusa yadid lahemne. After all, is he holding on to the get that we should believe him? After all, the Mishnah is talking about where he ripped up the get for reasons that we're going to talk about soon. So when would we say we believe the shalish? Again, according to Rav Chisda, that we believe the shalish when the husband contradicts him, or according to the way Marsha is explaining. That if there's no argument, then even Rav Huna would agree that we believe the Shalish. But when is that? Only when the Shalish is actually holding on to a complete get. Because Rashi, here's where Rashi says that he has a migui, because he could actually give it to her. And Tosfos says not so much a migui, but the very fact that the husband entrusted him with the get. But when the get is ripped, then all that goes away. So that would be different. Yes, when he doesn't have the complete get in his hand anymore is when the Mishnah is saying that we need the various Edim to say that he was appointed a Shliach and to say that he received the get. But if he was holding on to the get, then it might be different. We might not need Edim for that at all, according to Rav Chisda, not even if the husband contradicts him, and according to Rav Huna, certainly not if the husband agrees with him that it was given L'shem Gerushin. Okay, the Gemara says Tenach Omra. Fine, then that explains why we need Edim that she appointed him a shliach, because he doesn't have the migui anymore, or we don't have the proof that the husband trusted him anymore, because the get is ripped up. But on the other hand, the fact is the get may be ripped up, but the fact is he has it. He has the ripped pieces, but still, doesn't that show that he received it from the husband? So, kibbel lomeli, why would he need to have edim that he received it from the husband? And yet, Mishnah is saying he does. So doesn't that show that even in that case, you still need edim, not like Rav Chisda is saying? The answer is, Amar Rav, Hamani, Rav Elazar, he dama edim as sirakarti. So Rava says, because our Mishnah is going according to Rav Elazar, that Edim is Sira Karti, as we've learned throughout the Masechta, you need Edim anyway to watch the get being given over, and they're the ones who make the get take effect. Well, here, the Shliach Kabbalah is standing in place of the wife, so therefore, for that reason alone, you need Edim, not so much because we wouldn't trust the Shalish, but because without Edim is Sira, you don't have a get anyway. Tosfos also adds that we have to say that there are no Edim signed on the get. If Edim had signed the get, then even if we don't have the Edim Asira, we would assume in general that a get is usually given over with Edim, and therefore, we learned back in the fourth parak that the Chachamim still made the takana that Edim should sign the get, even according to Rav Elazar, in case the Edim Asira later on are not available to tell us that it was in fact given, then we can rely on the fact that a get that was signed is usually given in the presence of Edim. So therefore, but here we're talking about where there's no signatures on it. So therefore, we actually need Edim Asira, and if we don't have them, then we have no proof that it was ever a valid get in the first place. Okay. So therefore, the Mishnah does not contradict Rav Chisda either. Because even though Rav Chisda is saying we believe the Shalish, nevertheless, the Mishnah is saying we need Edim because the get itself is ripped up, so therefore we can't believe him that he was appointed a Shliach in the first place, because he doesn't have that migui, or we don't have for sure that the husband entrusted him with the get. And why do we need Edim that he received the get? Because Edim is Seder Karki. Okay, the Gemara asks, fine. Kera Lomali, why is the Mishnah saying that he rips up the get? And the answer is, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Abba Shasek Zera Shanu. Our Mishnah is talking about at a time of Zera, Zera Shmad, it says in some Gemaras, whatever. the Goyish governments have made it zera that Jews should not be performing mitzvahs, and that includes, therefore, if they found that Jews are giving gittin, the Jews could be arrested or whatever. So therefore, as soon as the get was received, then it would be ripped up so that later on there's no proof for the authorities, for the Goyim to find and get people in trouble. In fact, nowadays also when a get is given, we rip it up. One idea is it's based on that. Once it became that way, then the Shlomo Sadeshin explains, then we continue it that way, even though nowadays there's no Gzeres HaMalchus. But there's also the point, another reason why we rip up the get is because that way there's less of a chance that somebody later will find the get and point out some potential problem with it and be motzi laz on the woman's remarriage, or being motzi laz on the get in general. So be that as it may, then we rip up the get after it was given. But here in the Mishnah, we're talking about originally that was done because of Gzeres HaMalchus, because of a Gzeres of Shmad that the Goyim were doing. So far we haven't brought a proof against either of Huna or of Chista. We've been able to deflect all the proofs. As far as the halacha, by the way, the Rashba points out that usually when we have, in a machlokas of Huna and Rav Chista, the halacha would be usually like Rav Huna, who was the Rebbe. Here, actually, the halacha is like Rav Chista, so therefore the Sholosh is believed. He has the get in his hand, then we believe him to say, whether based on a migur, like Rashi says, or whether based on just the fact that the husband entrusted him with the get. As Tosfa says, that in fact he received it l'shem gerushin, and that it already took effect. Obviously, the better thing would be, let him give it to the wife directly, and then that way that takes care of any potential problems. Okay, so the Gemara continues, Omar Rabba, umoyder Rav Huna. Now, Rav Huna will agree, even though Rav Huna is saying that we don't believe the Sholosh, but the Omar Ihi, the Omar Sholosh, the Legerish and Yaven Yaveh, if the wife herself says that the Sholosh told me that the husband had given it in L'shem Gerushin, meaning that the husband had accepted that this guy is a Shliach Kabbalah and given it to him to take effect right away, Mehemna, then we will believe her. Well, the Gemara asks why. Why should it be that the Sholosh wouldn't be believed, according to Rav Huna, but the wife herself would be believed? After all she's saying over is what the Sholosh himself said. So if we don't believe the Sholosh, according to Rav Huna, why should we believe her speaking in the name of the Sholosh? And the answer is, so we can't say that. That can't be what Rav Huna holds. Ella, no, we have to correct what Rabba said. E omer kamay lididi the gerushin yaveni alei. If she says that in my presence the husband gave the get to the sholosh for gerushin mehemna, then we'll believe her. Nigodi boy omer lididal yaveni alabal. Because, after all, she could have said that the husband gave it directly to her. But it's true that if she's reporting it in the name of the Sholosh, then Rav Huna would not necessarily say we believe, because the Sholosh himself is not believed. But here, where she's saying that it was done in my presence, then she could have just as well said that this is a regular niggery, that she could have just as well said that I was given it directly by my husband, and therefore we would believe her in this case where she says it was given to the Shliach and it was given L'shem Gerushin, even though the husband is claiming later on that he gave it only as a pikadon. Another case within this case. What about another case? Baal omer legerushin or shliach omer legerushin. What if both the husband and the shliach agree that it was given to the shliach l'shem gerushin? So therefore, it should take effect as soon as the shliach receives it. V'hi emeres nosam liva avad. She says the sholish eventually did. Eventually, the sholish did give it to me, but now I lost it. So up until now, we've been talking about where the Sholosh has the get in his hand, or at least before we talked about maybe he has the ripped up pieces of the get in his hand. Now we're talking about where the get itself no longer exists b'chlal, because she's saying that it got lost. So now, can we believe that in fact she was divorced? Now later on, she wants to say that I was divorced and therefore I should be able to remarry. Or are we going to believe her? To Amar Rabbi Yochanan, have a Dovah Sheva Erva. In this case, we have a Dovah Sheva Erva because we know before that she was married, and now she wants to claim she's divorced. The Ein Dovah Sheva Erva Pachas Mishnayim. And when it comes to a Dovah Sheva Erva, you need two Edim. So here you don't have two Edim. Here all you have is you have the husband and the Shliach agreeing that it was given Lashem Gerushin, but there's no Edim who saw it being given over. So again, we could be talking about a point of a lazo that Edim is Sida Kauti. We could be talking about where the get is not signed, whatever. So Rabbi Yochanan says, in that case, we need Edim, no Edim, then we have a problem. So the Gemara asks, Vamai, Vahemna the Sholish. Again, why don't we believe the Sholish like we said before? And the answer is like before, because he doesn't have the get in his hand that we should believe him. When he has the get in his hand, he has the migor, according to Rashi, or he has the very fact that the husband entrusted him with the get, according to Tosfos, is reason enough to believe him. But now he's just like any other person. We're not going to believe him unless he's an aid. Okay, the Gemara asks the lahemne labal. Fine, in that case, then shouldn't we trust the husband that he divorced his wife? The Amr of Chiva Oven Amr Rabbi Yochanan Baal Shama Gerashti Es Ishti Naaman. Because we have a din that if the husband says he divorced his wife, then we do believe him. Because it's basically a nigger. He could divorce her now, so therefore we believe him when he says that he divorced her in the past. So why do we need in this case? Why do we need Edim? And the answer is exactly that. Because after all, he's not saying that I divorced. When we said before, he had the gerushin doesn't mean that he gave it, so it doesn't mean the husband is saying that he gave it as a shliach kabbalah. He's saying I gave it to him as a shliach halacha, and the shliach agrees, I was a shliach halacha. And the wife says, okay, the Shliach HaLocha did accomplish what he was supposed to do. He gave me the get, which at that point took effect. But now the get is gone, and I don't have any proof that I actually have it. So since we have no Edim, and since he was only a Shliach HaLocha, and the husband, after all, is saying that he made him a Shliach HaLocha. He's not saying he made him a Shliach Kabbalah, where it already took effect. He's saying he's only a Shliach HaLocha. So if the husband had said, I actually divorced her, it actually took effect, sure, we would believe him based on that Malo the Shaker, based on that Migri. But now he's saying, I didn't divorce her yet. I only gave the get to the Shliach. Well, how do we know the Shliach actually delivered it? Well, the Gemara asks, V'leima Chazaka Shliach Oysa Shlichosai. Okay, but why don't we say that we have a Chazaka when a Shliach is told to do something, we have a Chazaka that the Shliach accomplishes his Shlichos. We talk about that a lot of times in Avoda, and we talk about it as far as shluchim and shluchos nowadays, but it's a principle in halacha that we're saying over here that a chazaka, you tell a shliach to do something, he is going to accomplish it. So why shouldn't we assume that? After all, we have a similar example. The Amr of Yitzchak, ha'oim l'shluchot tzei v'kadish li'isha stam. If a man says to a shliach, go be makadish me a wife, without specifying who, so he just says, go find whoever you find would be a promising candidate and be makadisher, umes shluchoi, and now the shliach dies on the way, and now the one who sent him, the mashaleach, has no way of knowing whether he accomplished his shluchos or not. The result is osur b'chol nashim shavolam. That mashaleach is going to be osur to marry any woman in the world, because she might be a relative of the one that he was Makadish. Maybe he was already Makadish, a woman, and now once you're Makadish, a woman, then right away, this is actually in yesterday's Rambam Shloshet Prakim, right away, as soon as you're Makadish, a woman, you become Osir forever in a number of her relatives, her mother, her grandmother, her daughter, her sister, etc. So now, what if this Mishaleach is Makadish, another woman, and it turns out to be the mother or the sister or what have you of the woman that the Shliach was Makadish? Because Chazaka or Shliach is a Shlichosai. Because we have that Chazaka that the Shliach accomplished what he was told to do. So therefore, so why don't we say in our case over here also Shliach is a Shlichosai? Now, obviously, when we say osavachon noshim shavolam, we mean any woman who has such relatives. I mean, if he's able to find a woman whose mother who passed away and has no sisters and has no daughters, then fine, he'd be able to marry her, because obviously she's not that kind of relative of the woman that the shliach could potentially have been the kaddish. Incidentally, they have a couple of interesting vertlach in this connection. We learned about this concept in the Dorim as well. There's an explanation, I think, from the Ora Chaim HaKadosh that says that when it says, we say in the Haggadah, it's originally from Mikra Bikurim, Arami Ovid Ovi Vayerim Mitzrayim. Arami Ovid Ovi, where did Lavan try to destroy the Jewish people? So the answer is, we have the whole thing where Lavan and Besuel tried to poison Eliezer, when he came to be Makadish Rivka. So the vote would be, he was already Makadish her. And therefore Yitzchak would have been in this situation where if Eliezer had passed away, then he wouldn't have been able to marry anybody because she might be his Mekudesh, his sister or daughter or what have you. And in that sense, therefore Lavan, the Arami, Lavan and his father Besuel, attempted to destroy the Jewish people from the beginning. Then there's a further explanation on this, I think, from the Chassam Sofer, who says that's exactly why we find that Eliezer, he says, Loi oichal adim dibarti dvare. He says, I won't eat until I've spoken my whole piece. Because he's saying, I realize you guys might be trying to poison me and to prevent me from being able to come back and say that I fulfilled my shlichus. Well, I'll tell you what. First, I'm going to tell you what I was told by Avraham, that I have to go davka to his family. So therefore, even if you plot to do that, it won't do any good. All it means is fine. So now Avraham will have to have a suffix. What if Yitzchak is Mekudosh to some woman from his own family? But he'll be free to marry outside the family, because for sure that won't be the daughter or sister or what have you of whoever is Mekudosh. So that way, Eliezer is kind of forestalling what they're even trying to do. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, so Chazaka Shliach Oseh Shlichusay. Tosfos and other Rishonim, by the way, deal with the question. Why don't we say the parallel thing? Why don't we say, by the same token, no woman should be able to be, in this case, no woman should be able to ever be Miskadish, because what if she was ready Mekudosh to the guy who sent this Shliach? So Tosfos first says that, this is an adult we're talking about. She'll know whether she received Kiddushin. So therefore, if she knows she didn't and she goes and accepts Kiddushin from somebody else, then good. Tosfos says, okay, what about Tana? What if her father accepted Kiddushin on her behalf? So, okay, Tosfos says, the vote is, we're not really saying that Midaraisa there would be a concern. Midaraisa, we're not going to say that there's a concern that any particular woman that the man might meet afterwards might be the daughter or sister or mother of the woman that a shliach might have been Makadish. It's only a knas that we penalize him. Why was he so careless as to just send the shliach with an open-ended mission like that, rather than telling him a specific woman to be Makadish on his behalf? Even we're going to learn in Kiddushin, really, anyway, mitzvah by Yosef and Mishluchai. Anyway, there's a mitzvah for a person to do Kiddushin on his own rather than sending through a shliach. But at least if he's going to send a shliach, he should tell him a particular woman rather than just giving him an open-ended instruction like that. So therefore, we penalize him, and therefore we tell him that any woman who might potentially be a relative of your potential Mekudeshes is going to be also for you. But we're not going to put that. We're not going to put that knas on the woman, because she didn't do anything wrong in this case. Different other Rishonim talk about different other angles on why we would accept that any woman in this situation is able to marry in the future. After all, every woman has a chazaka at one point that she's a pnuya. And then Ramban talks about this. It would allow her to remarry, but the chazaka doesn't help. The chazaka doesn't help with him, because the chazaka is about her, that she's a pnuya, doesn't really help about her relatives. Anyway, the point is, getting back to the Gemara, we see chazaka shliach oseh shlichusay. So by the same logic, why shouldn't we say then that if the husband again says, I gave the get to a shliach, why shouldn't we assume that the shliach accomplished the shlichus and actually delivered it to the wife? He or she's saying, I don't have the get anymore. But why shouldn't we believe that in fact it was delivered? Because chazaka shliach oseh shlichusay. And the answer is hani milu l'chumra. We would only say that concept l'chumra, as in Rabbi Yitzchak's example, aval l'kula loy. But we're not going to say it where it would result in a kula, and say that to accept, therefore, that the Shliach, in fact, for sure fulfilled his mission, what if he didn't? We need Edim, and if we don't have Edim, then we can't be 100% sure that he fulfilled his mission. Tosfos also adds, now there is a different Gemara where Rav Shaitan in Erevin, where Rav Shesha says, where it's a matter of Torah, then we do say Chazaka Shliach Oysa Shlichosai. So that's because, and then Tosfos draws a distinction because there we're talking about where if the Shliach doesn't do it, the Meshalayach is going to end up doing an Aveva. Here, we're not talking about that. The Meshalayach is not going to, the Meshalayach, if he says, if he claims he gave the get, and in fact the Shliach did not in fact deliver it, then the husband himself is not in a position to do an Aveda. The woman might be, but that's a different matter. Okay. So the Gemara says, V'lahem no v'didah. Fine. We can't believe the husband. We can't believe the husband, and we can't believe the Shliach in this case. But why don't we believe her? She says she received the get, and midi Rav Hamnuna. We should believe her based on what Rav Hamnuna says. D'amar Rav Hamnuna, ha'isha sh'amra l'bayla ger ashtani. If a woman says to her husband, you divorced me, nam menes. We do believe her. Chazaka is a paner of Nebaila, because we have a chazaka that a woman is not going to be so chutzpahdik as to brazenly say to her husband, you divorced me, when in fact she didn't. When in fact he didn't. So therefore, in this case, that's exactly our case. And the answer is if not. If there's nobody supporting what she's saying, then she's going to be, then she would be a chazaka that she's not going to say, you divorced me, when in fact he didn't. But here you have the husband and the shalish are both saying that that the divorce did take effect. The husband says, I gave it to the shalish. The shalish says, I gave it to the wife, l'shem gevurshin. So now, so even if it's not true, me'iza or me'iza, then she might in fact have the ha'oza to say that, that her husband did divorce her, even though in fact he didn't. So therefore we can't necessarily believe what she's saying either. Only if we have the get, or in her hands, or if we have Adam that she was given it, then we can believe her, but otherwise not. Okay. The Mishnah continues, so far we've talked about the shliach of the shliach of the wife. We said there's a shliach kabbalah. We said she needs edim that he was appointed as a shliach kabbalah. Now what about? So the Mishnah continues. Naira hamorosa. So naira hamorosa. She's bas mitzvah. She's within 6 months after bas mitzvah. But she's still under the, and, but she's ma'urosa. They haven't yet done nisuin. So she's still under her father's rishus. As far as we learned from Ksubas, for example, that the husband, that the father is still entitled to also Maisiya Deha. He, together with the husband, as we learned in Nedarim, can jointly be made for her Nedarim, and so on and so forth. So therefore, he va via makablanas gitta, either she or her father can receive her get. She could receive it because she's a gedola already, she's bas mitzvah. Her father can also receive it on her behalf, because he still has reshus over her. That's according. So according to Rashi, we're talking about Davka when she's a naira. Tosfos points out that Rashi would continue and say that a ketana, then no, she couldn't receive the get because she's a ketana. She doesn't yet have a yad. So therefore, only her father. So if she has a father, if she's not a yisrima, then the father would have to receive it. On the other hand, Tosfos says that Rashi in Kiddushin changed his mind and said that no, actually it would work by a ketana as well. That a ketana also could receive her own get, but in addition, according to the Chachamim, her father can also receive the get on her behalf. The reason why we're saying Naira over here is to say that even Rabbi Yehuda is saying, as he continues in the Mishnah, that you can't have both. It's either one or the other. So Rabbi Yehuda would say that even by a Naira, that consideration would still apply, and you can't have both of them. Anyway, Rashi also adds the point that if she's a Yesoma, if this girl is Katana or Naira, if her father has passed away, or for that matter, we also have the concept in Yevamos called Yesoma B'chaya Aviya, where she was married and divorced and now married again, and now is getting married again, and then she's out of her father's reshus. Actually, here we don't even need the married again. He was just, so she's getting divorced, whatever, but she's already out of her father's reshus. So then, so Rashi says she's the one who made herself Mekudesh, and she can also be receiving her get, So we don't, in that case, the father has no role to play. Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger wonders why Rashi is even saying that. The fact is, and if she was Mekudesh by her father, but now once she's married, then she's out of her Rishus, so then also, she'd also be able to receive her get on her own behalf. And Rabbi Akiva Eger leaves it as a strong question why Rashi expresses it that way. Anyway, the point is, we're saying in the Mishnah that she or her father can receive her get when she's a Naira, and according to the way Rashi changed his mind in Ksuvos, also when she's a Ktana, you have the choice, either one. The fact is, she could receive it herself, because she has a Yad, or we could say the father could receive it because he has the Shus over her. Amar Rabbi Yehuda ein shtei yadayim zeichas kachas, but Rabbi Yehuda says you can't have two pairs of hands that are both equally able to be zeicha on her behalf. Ella avia makabos get to bogan. Rather, only the father can receive it on her behalf, and she can't. So when she's a yisoma, whether a real yisoma or whether yisoma b'chaya avia, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that she can receive her own get. But where the father is still in the picture because she's a naira amayrasa or a ktana amayrasa, then Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be her father receives it, and she doesn't yet have the ability to receive it for herself. So that's what Gemara says. The Mishnah continues. Furthermore, here's a din. Any katana who's not able to watch her get, in other words, she's not able to she doesn't have the das to understand what a get is, she can't be divorced at all. Because Rashi explains like this. The pasuk says that when a husband divorces his wife, the shilchami besa, it says he sends her away from his house. Now, it doesn't literally mean that he has to send her away from his house, but the point is, it has to be at least that she has the das to understand that she's been sent, that she's divorced. As opposed to, if this girl is so little that she doesn't even know what a get is, she's just going to continue returning to this house because that's where she knows. So then, in that case, she doesn't have the das to receive a get. Now Rashi says that would be the case even if her father receives a get on her behalf. She's too much of a ktana to be able to receive a get. Tosfos disagrees and says, Rabbi Natan, and Tosfos says that no, if her father was receiving the get on her behalf, that's fine. The father has das to prevent her from going back to that house and to watch the get for her. In fact, Tosfos says, Rabbi Natan Paskin, in one case, Halacha L'maisa, there was an actual case of that, of a Ketana who was getting, a Ketana Morasa, was getting divorced, and she was too little to understand what's going on, but her father was receiving the get on her behalf, and Rabbi Natan said, that's fine. She may be too little to understand what a get is, and to watch it, and to know to not come back to this house, but her father will be able to keep an eye on things. Okay. So the Gemara says, "B'mai kamichlagi in machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim." What's the underlying argument? Why do the Chachamim say that the father or the girl can receive the get, and Yehuda is saying only the father? Because Rabbanan Sabri Yodi Yeserta Zochi Lo Rachmana. The Chum hold in this case, what it is Hashem gave her as a Naira Mayrasa an extra yad, so she has her own yad to be able to receive her get, but also the Torah is also saying that her father has the ability to receive it on her behalf. So it means, in other words, that so we're saying that the daughter herself could receive it, and again, depending whether we say that it means that the Mishnah means Davka and Nairo also Oktana, will change the meaning slightly. But the point is that the Torah is saying that the father has that Rishus, but in addition, also she has that ability to receive the get for herself. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, where her father is involved, then her yad itself doesn't really count for anything, so therefore it's only in the reshus of the father. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, we said any girl who's not able to guard her get, in other words, she doesn't know what a get is, and she doesn't know what a divorce is, then we said we can't divorce her, according to Rashi, even if her father is involved, and according to Tosfos, only if there's no father to be involved. So, Tanan Abanan, Ketana Hayadas Lishmeres Gita, when you have a Ketana who knows to be able to watch her get, Miskereshes, then she can be divorced. Vishen Yadas Lishmeres Gita, if she doesn't know how to hold on to watch her get, then she can't be divorced. The Ezri Tana Yadas Lishmas Gita. What is the definition of a Tana who knows how to watch her get? It means Kol Shemeshameres Gita V'Davar Acher. If she watches her get and something else, that's the Braisa. So the Gemara says, "My Palmer, what does the Braisa mean? What's this Gita V'Davar Acher?" So Omer Rav Yechanan Hachikama Kol Shemeshameres Davar Acher Machmas Gita. It means that the Braisa is defining the definition of a Ketana who doesn't yet know how to watch her get is that if her get gets lost, then she picks up something else and thinks that that's the get and holds on to that. So that would be the definition, therefore, that she doesn't yet know what a get is. But Maskefer Rav Huna Bar Manoach, So Rav Huna Bar Manoach says, what do you mean? If she takes something else, which doesn't even resemble the get at all, and she thinks that that's the get, that makes that's below even a katana, that's a shoita. So how could she, so of course she can't be divorced in that case. She wouldn't even understand what a get is. Again, according to Rashi, even if her father is involved, according to Tosfos, if there's no father to be involved, Ela Omrav, Hunabamanoyach, Mishmeidrav Acha, Breidravika, just the opposite. Koshimav Chenes Ben Gita Ludav Acha. On the contrary, the Braisa is defining what's considered Tani Yadas Lishmeres Gita, is where she's able to tell the difference between the get and something else. So then, in that case, then she's old enough to understand what a get is, and in that case, she can, according to the Chachamim in the Mishnah, she can receive the get on her own, and, according to Rashi's explanation over here, only if she's a Naira, according to Rashi's revised explanation, Kedushin, even if she's a Ketana, she's able to receive the get. Because now she understands what a get is. So Tosfos points out, you know, we learned in the previous parak, we talked about po'oita, so that children, we said the youngest ever is 6, the oldest ever is 10. Between 6 and 10, we need to figure out how intelligent the kid is. So then we're saying a smart girl already at 6 years old would be able to receive a get. A less smart girl might have to wait until she's 10. Between those ages, we need to find out whether she understands what a get is and check this point over here, whether she understands the difference between a get and something else. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Omer of Yehuda, Omer of Ami. Amr of Asi, rather. Here's a distinction within a child as far as what they understand, as far as them understanding the differences between one object and another. If a child is old enough, he has enough dance, that you give him a pebble and he'll throw it away, but if you give him a nut, he'll keep it. So then he has enough das, zoicha la'atzmai. So then at that point he's able to be zoicha in something for himself. Tosfa says, this is what we're talking about, where you have das acheras makna, where you have somebody else being makna to him, because you don't have, if you have, for example, he finds a metzia, then we learned in the previous perek that it's only mepnei davkei sholem that he's able to keep it. Anyway, so then zoicha la'atzmai, he's able to be zoicha in something for himself. If somebody else gives him something, ve'en zoicha la'acherim, but he can't be mezaka, he can't be zoicha on behalf of somebody else. As for example, we're going to talk about soon in connection with Eruv Chatzeres, for example, where you take the food and you mezaka through somebody else to everybody who lives in that chatzer. You can't do that through a cotton because he doesn't have the das to be able to be zoicha on behalf of other people. So a child that age is able to be zoicha in something, but he's not able to be mezakeh to others. But once he has even more das, where when you give him something, he'll understand that when you ask him for it back, he should actually give it back. Then Rav Yehuda says zoicha bein la'atzma bein la'acherim. Then he'll be able to be mezakeh even to other people. And then he'll be able to be mezaka even to other people, midrabban. So it's only midrabbanon. So therefore, for example, when it comes to, let's say on the first day sukkah, so you have a Gemara in sukkah that tells us when you give your lulav to a kid, you shouldn't give it to him on the first day as matana amanas lahachsi, because he won't be able to return it to you because he can't be mezaka on a daraisa level that it should belong to you again. But the Dirabbanan, it'll work when he's that older age. So that's Rabbi Yehuda says, I said that. So Rabbi Yehuda said so far in the name of Rabbi As. But then he continues, Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when I told over the statement of Rabbi Asi to Shmuel, Omali, Shmuel says to me, Da b'da achasi. This and this are the same thing. Those two ktanim, those two ages, are actually have the same din. So one, my da b'da achasi, what does Shmuel mean by that? Yet both ages, even when he's older and understands that when you ask him for something back, he should return it, even then he can't be zeicha to other people as well. Shmuel holds that there's no such takana de rabbanon. Rab Asi had said there's a takana de rabbanon that the child should be able to give it back to you. Shmuel holds that de rabbanon there's no such takana. So the Gemara brings in this connection, Mosiv Rav Chinina Vardon. So Rav Chinina Vardon, Vardon means it came from a place called Vardina, or Vardanya. Anyway, he points out a contradiction against Shmuel from the following Mishnah. So now we have the concept of Eruv Chatzeiros. We also have the concept of Shituf Mavoyus, which is not to be able to carry in the Mavoy as a whole, the whole side street. So you have, you do a Shituf Mavoyus, which is similar to an Eruv Chatzeiros. The difference being, an Eruv Chatzeiros, you have all the houses that open out into the schosser jointly. They pull some food together. They collect food from each house and they make the Eruv Chatzeiros. In the case of a shit of mavoyas, you're collecting from the residents of each of the chatzeiros surrounding the mavui. But once that's done, then you're able to carry in the mavui. So now, the typical way of making a shit of mavoyas is with wine. You'd have one big barrel of wine. So Mishnah says, case of mishtap from the mavui, how do you go about making the shit of mavoyas? Now, you don't have to go and actually collect a small amount of wine from the people of each mavui. Instead, maybe a sachavit, maniach a sachavis, a person puts the one person of one of the people who lives around that mavui, puts down a barrel of wine, va'omer, and he announces, harezu l'chol b'nei mavui, this is going to belong to all the people of the mavui. I'm giving a share in it to everybody who lives around the mavui. U'mezakeh lehem ayedid b'nei u'bitei agodim, he can be mezakeh to them through his older son or daughter, meaning above Bar Bas Mitzvah, by the Abed B'Shechoseh Ivrim, he can do it through his Eved Ivri or Shivcha Knanis, and Shivcha Knanis, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, by definition is a Tana, so we'll see that, why that works. In fact, Tosfos discusses, based on a different Gemara in Bava Metzia, that says that Gedolim and Ktanim may not mean the actual age, it may refer to whether they're still being supported by their father or not. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, when it brings these dinim, in Hilchos Eruvin, it talks about you have different opinions whether if the child is over above Bar or Bas Mitzvah, but this father, but the parents are still supporting them, can they be zeuche in the Eruv on behalf of others? You have different opinions in Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, when we're mezakeh and Eruv Chatzeiros, or Eruv Tashilin, or whatever, we try to do it through somebody who is not somuch al Shulchan. We do it with a neighbor, we do it with somebody else who's not dependent on your support, in order to be choshish for that opinion. Anyway, but the Braisa is saying, the Mishnah rather, is saying that you can do it through Bnei Bita Agdolim and Abdev Shivchaseh Ivrim. Now, let's consider High Shivcha Hechidomi. What's the scenario with this Shivcha, with this Alma Hebriya, this Shivcha? Ida Asya Shtei Cyrus, if she's already developed Shtei Cyrus, then my boy Agabe, then what she's still doing by him. The din is that as soon as a Shivcha Knat, as soon as an Alma Hebriya develops Shtei Cyrus, she's out of there. She's no longer an Alma Hebriya. So obviously, if we're saying an Omer Hevriya, then or Shivchosei Hevrim, as the Mishnah phrased it, then it means she doesn't yet have Shtei Cyrus, because Tani Zeichel Acherim, and still the Braisa is saying that he can be Mezakeh through somebody else. So you see that a cotton could do that. What is Shmuel telling us that he can't? And the answer is Shani Shetufim, before it is Derambonon. It's different. The whole concept of Shetufim Boyis is only Derambonon. So therefore, the Chachamim will make it possible to do it within something Derabban. So that's the answer. So that way, the Mishnah doesn't contradict Shmuel. So Tosfos again draws some distinctions over here. D'oraisa, D'rabbanan. When do we say it's only Mipnei Davke Shalom? When do we say, and so on and so forth. Anyway. Omer of Chista Ishtik Vardon. So Rav Chista says, you know what? It's interesting. Vardon, this Chocham from Vardania was quiet and he didn't answer back, even though he could have answered back a very obvious answer that explanation of that Mishnah doesn't really work. So the Gemara says, "My havelam emma. Why? What does Rav Chista mean? What could Rav Chinina have answered that to say that that answer doesn't work, and to say therefore that the Mishnah still contradicts Shmuel? He could have answered. We have a rule called the Tokun Rabbanon, Kein Daraisa Tokun. Whenever the Chachamim make a Takana, they usually make it as similar as possible to a Din Daraisa. So if Midaraisa, a Katan or a Katana doesn't have the right to be Mizaka, you can't be Mizaka through them to other people, then Midarabbanon, in the case of Shittu Pavoyas, we would say the same thing. The fact that Rav Chinina did not think of that point, Rav Chista is surprised about that. But in fact, the Edoch, so why Taka did Rav Chinina not think of that? The Kiyaminim called the Tokun Rabbanon Keinda Raisa Tokun, because you know what? When do we say this concept that whenever the Chachamim make a Takana, they make it similar to the thing that Raisa? But most of the Isla Ikum and Torah. When you have the basic concept exists in Torah and the Chachamim are adding to it, so then we would say that the Chachamim make their Takana as similar as possible to the Din of the Torah. But here Shita Pavoyas, the whole concept doesn't even come in Atura. The whole concept of Eruvim and Shitukim is strictly Dirabanan. Lord, then Rav Chinina is gonna say the Chachamim never, obviously, I mean, it's all based on the concept of a Motzi Mershus L'Rishus, which is Daraisa, but it's not really the concept that an Eruv makes that difference is strictly Dirabanan. And therefore, so Rav Chinina would say that we don't say in that kind of thing that the Chachamim pattern their Takanas on Dinim Daraisa. Only when you have, let's say, for example, by other dinim, which we'll talk about more in the Gemara tomorrow, Best Hashem, for example, Truma, where you have the basic concept of Truma is Daraisa, you have certain cases where it applies only Dirabanan, then we'll say the Chachamim model their Takana on the Din Daraisa and give it as many as possible of the same dinim. But here, where it's Shita Pervayas, Rav Chinina would say the Chachamim Bechlal don't even make that equation at all, and therefore there could be a difference. And therefore, Rav Chinina is saying, and yet the Mishnah is saying that you can be mezakeh through a cotton. So don't tell me shiny shitufim mevoyus. So don't tell me shiny shitufim mevoyus derabanan, because or rather do tell me that because shitufim mevoyus derabanan, then therefore that's a valid answer. So therefore he didn't slug that up and say, but what do you mean? Kol the Tokun Rabbanan Kein Daraisa Tokun, because in this case he would agree that the Chachamim have the Takana and they make it according to their own rules, not parallel to the Din Daraisa. So the Din Daraisa, a cotton can't be mezakeh to others. Okay, can't be mezakeh through a cotton to others, but in a din that's purely Dirabanan, like Shittah Mavayas, you could. So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Baz Hashem, and we'll continue with when we say that you can be mezakeh through a cotton and when you can't, or a katana and when you can't.